And then we looked at 1 Corinthians 13, and we found that everything minus love equals nothing. And then last time I come to speak, we looked at 1 John chapter 4, and it was verses 7 to 16, which Phil read out this morning. And today we're looking at part 2. We're going to look at verses 16 to 21. And these verses are pivotal in the whole book of John. Verses 16 to 21, you'll notice that there are key themes in here of love and fear. And John compares love with fear and fear with love. And you'll see that the word, the key word in this passage is perfect. Perfect. And for much of my life, I've been struggling with trying to be perfect. And I've realized it's about progress, not perfection. One day, we'll get there. We'll be like Jesus. But it's about progress, not perfection. It's about doing our best. And that's good enough. But here, John is telling us how we can be perfect. So let's look in these verses and find out a bit more about how can we be perfect in love. And this letter is written to the church because false teachers were saying it's only about spiritual knowledge. And John is trying to build confidence and strengthen the faith in the people in the church. And he says that fellowship with God is about transformation in our hearts through love. And John experienced this when he was with Jesus for 3.5 years. And this is what he learned from Jesus. In part one, we looked at verse 7 to 16. And there's an emphasis on the believers loving one another. And in verses 16 to 21, we'll see there's an emphasis on loving God. So today there's just two points I want to make in this passage. The first is how we can be certain of God's love. And the second point I want to make is how the love of God is seen when we love one another. We're time for our first reading. Verse 17, who I believe is Graham. Graham, if we could ask you to read verse 17. Thank you.
And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face it with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world.
Thank you, Graham. We can be certain of God's love. And it's in the context of God's judgment here on when Jesus comes again and when God will judge all of us. John is saying we can be certain. And here that key word comes in again, perfect. It's in verse 12 and it's in verse 17. But here, perfect means complete. It means to be fully grown or mature. Perfect means something that fulfills its intended purpose. And when we fulfill our intended purpose, when we grow and mature in love, we are perfect. When we love one another, the love of God is made complete in us. And when God's love is perfected in us, we can have confidence in the day of the Lord, in the day of judgment. And for Christians, this day of judgment is not to determine whether you will have eternal life. No, you have that now. It's to determine your rewards for how faithful we've been to Jesus in this life. And when God's love is being perfected in us, we begin to love like Jesus. And it says in verse 17, as Jesus is, so we are in this world. As Jesus is, so we are in this world. What does John mean by this? He means that the Father's love is in us. The Father loves us as the Father loved his Son, Jesus. In John 17, Jesus prayed that the love the Father had for him would be in us. And John is saying, as Jesus is, so we are in the world. It means the Father loves us as he loves Jesus. Isn't that an amazing thought? The Father loves us like he loves his own Son, his own begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And when we know this love that God has for us, then we can love one another. When we look at the person of Jesus, we see love perfected. We see love without fear. And when we live with God in us, when we live for God, God lives in us, and we can love just as Jesus loved. And when we love one another, we become like Jesus. And we're becoming more and more and more like Jesus. And that's verse 17. Saren, can I ask you to read verse 18, please? Thank you, Saren. And this is a crucial verse. It gives us a profound insight into our relationship with God. And if we fear God's judgment, this implies a fear of punishment or rejection. Fear is torment. Fear is punishment in itself. Just the fact that we fear. But if we fear, it suggests a misunderstanding or a lack of trust in God. The Amplified Bible says that the one who fears has not grown sufficiently to understand God's love. And I want to add something there. I'd add yet, because we are growing in our understanding of God's love. And if you don't know that your sins are forgiven because of Jesus Christ, you'll fear judgment. No fear in love suggests that where there is love, fear cannot exist. Fear and love cannot coexist. They're mutually exclusive. And you might say, but it says in the Bible about the fear of the Lord. And this means a reverence and an awe at God's majesty and sovereignty over all. God is not looking to punish, but to forgive us. And to assure us that we're loved. And I want to give you an example here. Fear says, I messed up. My mum and dad are going to kill me. Love says, I've messed up. I better call my mum and dad. And God is our Father. When you follow Jesus, our sins are forgiven and we receive God's love in us. We become part of his family. God is our Father. Jesus says, whoever hears my word and believes has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. And Paul says in Romans 8, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So friends, judgment for Christians is not in the future, it's in the past. We don't need to fear the future because our sins have been judged in Christ, at the cross, and they can never be brought against us again. The Father cannot judge our sins again without judging Jesus again. As he is, so we are in this world. God's love is proved at the cross, and God's love is perfected in us. And this means we don't need to fear. We don't need to fear the future and we don't need to fear the past. Verse 10, Phil read out this morning, God first loved us. From the very start, our relationship with God is one of love. If God loved us when we were far away from him, how much more will he love us now that we're in Christ? So we don't need to fear the past. We don't need to fear the future. And we don't need to fear the present because we're growing in our love for God. And the more we grow, the more we stop being fearful. And usually love is perfected in stages. Once there was a time I lived in fear and I knew nothing of God's love. And then I trusted in Jesus. And I still had some fear, but I had his love in my heart. And there's a mix of fear and love. And as we mature in our faith, we get to a point when we will grasp the depth of God's love for us. And fear will disappear. So friends, what does this actually mean for us today? It means that as we follow Jesus, we don't have to fear judgment. We can rest in God's perfect love. And this is our first point. And there was a time I went on a mission trip. And I went to a place where there was a lot of spiritual opposition. And I was afraid. And I remember praying, Lord, I have this fear in my heart. And I realized if I'm supposed to love God with all my heart, there was a bit of my heart that was fearful, that wasn't loving God. And I prayed to the Lord, Jesus, can you be Lord of my fear? Can you help me with this, please, Lord? And I went to bed, woke up the next morning, full of boldness, going out on mission. Praise God. So if you feel fear, ask Jesus to replace that with boldness. Ask him to be Lord of your fear. We're coming to the next verse, verse 19, and I believe this is Phil. If you would read that for us, please. Isn't that true? We've seen it twice. We've seen it in verse 10 and now we see it in verse 19. Whenever you see in scripture something being repeated, it means it's important. John is pointing this out to us. And this leads us into our second point. Love for God is demonstrated in our love for one another. Verses 19 to 21. Paul says, God demonstrates his love for us that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us before we loved him. God's love comes first. And our love is a response to his love. God's love is the cause. Our love is the effect of God's love. Our love stems from experiencing, knowing God's love for us. And as we grow in love for God, our love for one another also grows. Verse 20, this is Chris.
Whoever claims to love God, yet hates the brother or sister is a liar. Or whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen, cannot love God whom they have not seen.
Thank you, Chris. Is it possible to love God and hate people? In this context, John is saying, if you hate your brother and sister in Christ, but you claim to love God, he's saying you're a liar. You're lying. If we claim to love God, but don't love our brothers and sisters, then that claim is flawed. If we say, I love Jesus, people will know by how I love them. And this implies that our interactions with people reflects our relationship with God. If we cannot love those that we know, John is saying, how can we love God? If we cannot love those that we see, how can we love a God who cannot be seen? God is invisible to the human eye. But when we love one another, God's presence is made visible. People see God through our love. Verse 21. Gabby. Thank you, Gabby. Here, John links love for God with love for human beings. We cannot love our neighbor unless we love God. And we cannot love God unless we love our neighbor. Loving others proves our love for God. And our love for God is seen in our love for one another. And that's the second point. So to summarize what I've been speaking about, love casts out fear. Love for God entails we will love one another. And it's impossible to love God without loving one another. So how do we apply this to our lives here and to the church here in Sandy? A few years ago, I had a trouble believing God could love me. But the Bible says that God loves us. But I experienced a lack of certainty that was then proved that God loves me. I was doing a course and there was 80 people in this room. It was a Christian course. And the leaders had been out praying and they came in. And that morning I was just praying that question, Lord, how can you love me? And then as the leaders come back in the room, there's 80 people in the room. And the guy points to me and says, God absolutely loves you. And I thought, well, perhaps God did tell him to say that. And then I thought, yeah, but he could have just said that. And then he says to me, God absolutely loves you. And there's something about you make music CDs or playlists for people. Do you know what that means? I'd never met this man. And he couldn't have known this, that I made worship CDs for my friends. And I did music playlists for my friends. And in that moment, God told me he loved me. And he doesn't just love me, he loves every single one of you here this morning. But I had to continue to work on that issue that I had. And what I found was learning scripture really helped me. And I'd take a scripture about God's love and I'd meditate on it. I'd go over it and over it again and I'd pray through that scripture and then I'd confess it out. Who can separate us from the love of God? No one. I'd keep going over the scriptures. And then I found as I went over them more and more and more, I become more aware of God's love for me. So you can pick a verse about God's love and you can meditate on it and you can confess it. And you will find that God's love for you becomes more real. And today I want to start with 1 John 4:16. This is a really good verse to learn, to meditate on, and then to confess. And I looked at a few different versions of verse 16 here, and I've got some volunteers. Thank you. Sarah, would you be able to read the first one, please? Thank you, Sarah. And Jenny, you've got the amplified version there. Can you read that for us, please?
We have come to know by personal observation of the Spirit and have believed in deep, consistent faith the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God continually abides in him.
Thank you, Jenny. And then, Steve, you've got the Living Bible version.
We know how much God loves us because we have felt his love and because we believe in him and he tells us that he loves us dearly. God is love. And anyone who lives in love is living in God and God is living in him.
Thank you, Steve. And Val, you've got the New Living Translation. Thank you. Thank you, Val. And Davina, you've got the ESV, the English Standard Version.
For we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him.
Yeah, thank you very much. And if you pick a verse and you just go over it and over it again, I promise you, God will show his love to you through that verse. Thank you all. So in conclusion, today we've looked at verses 16 to 21. And I was asking the Lord, how do I convey your love to the congregation this morning? And God, immediately this came in my mind, that when we love, we'll experience God's love. That's what he told me. When we love, we'll experience God's love. We're on a journey. We're all on a journey. We're being perfected in love. Until our love for God and our love for one another becomes a living, breathing reality. And that's our purpose, to love God and to love one another. And when people see a community that loves like Jesus, they'll see the reality of God's kingdom on earth. When you love, you live in God, and God lives in us. And by this, love is perfected in us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that there is no fear in love, and perfect love casts out fear. Lord, we ask you to drive out any fear, any anxiety, any insecurity, any doubt. And Lord, replace them with your love, that we can have a certainty that we are loved by you. Lord, we pray for a boldness to replace fear. Lord, help us to live in love and love you and one another with your perfect love. In Jesus' name, amen. And a couple of years ago, a guy called Jeremy Riddle wrote a song called No Fear in Love. I think we might be able to play that after the service. Is that? Yeah. But there's a particular line in here that I love. And he has this in the song. He wrote this. What is broken, love can mend. What is hurting, love can heal. What is lost and long forgotten, love restores and love reveals. Love is piercing through the darkness. Love is lifting off our shame. Love is carrying us to freedom, and love is calling us by name. Love is shouting resurrection. Love is roaring like a flood, singing songs of our redemption. We are set free in his love. And we're now going to just play a song for reflection. If the Lord has spoken to you through those words this morning, this is just a song to think through those and to give thanks to him for what he may have given to you. Thank you, Saren. I hadn't heard that version. It's a really good version. Thank you. And you know what? We are free to love. Fear is gone. When we're perfected in love, we're free to love. And what I kind of learned is that God does love me. And because God loves me, I can love. And God loves you. And because he does, you can love too. He's broken the chains of fear. Let his love guide you and lead you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We have one final hymn this morning, and it's a very traditional hymn. It's Love Divine. And what made me pick this one is the words at the end just sum up perfect love. If able, please stand for the final hymn, Love Divine.